Good morning, church.
Good morning.
We had an incredible first service. This service will be incredible. We're light in number, but where two or more are gathered, Jesus is with us. Amen. And more people are coming in. Praise God. And those, if you're watching online, we say welcome. And I want to just welcome everybody. It's first Sunday of the new year, so let's kick this off right. And so we got some cool stuff about to happening. So if you're watching online and you're trying to find a church home, come be a part of this. Be present here and be a part of this movement of God called Lakeview. We would love to have you here. Also, if you're here and you want to know the latest happenings, you can scan the QR codes on the walls and it will come up on your smartphone. And that's the happenings. You can also call Nancy at the church and tell her you want to be on the email list so you can pick up the phone and call the church this week if you would like to know when everything is going on each week. If you're giving today, prepare to do so during the offertory video. And so that's when that will happen, and that's after the praise music, the worship music, and then Jennifer will close that out with prayer, and then the video will come on so you can give at that time. And so we thank God that you're with us this morning. Again, we had a powerful first service, and so we don't seek to duplicate that, but the Spirit will do in us what we give Him our lives to do. And we want you to have for this new year a great heart of appreciation for all that God has done for you. So with that being said, really just one announcement. Church will be closed tomorrow in observance of the holiday, so we won't have office staff here tomorrow, so we'll be off tomorrow. In the first service, I want you to know that Tom and Janine Abbott decided to join our church, and Tom was baptized in the early service. He'd been coming here for years and had never been baptized, and so for that we are grateful. Also, I want you to know that I had two dear friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, talk to me after the first service, and basically the conversation went like this: we're ready to join this church. And so bottom line is, I love those. So Nancy, I'll get the card to you. But I would like to, at this time, ask Kat and Gary Rathbone to come stand before the church. Yes, put your hands together for the Rathbones. I see people that have been coming here for quite a while, like them, that have said, now is the time to join this church. They know that it's a movement of God, and they also know that they've been loved here. And I know that I have two friends standing here to take the vows of the church, and so my heart's just full right now. And my heart was full with the Abbots, and my heart is full with the Rathbones. So here we go. You ready? All right. Gary and Kat, will you lift up this church with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If you will do those things, say we will. Church, their family to you. If you will lift them as a family up with your prayers, means you're going to pray for them. Your presence, you're going to be a part of their life. Your gifts, your service, and your witness to them about a journey with Jesus. If you'll do those things for them, say we will. Put your hands together for your new family members. Welcome. Love you guys. Anything you'd like to say, Gary, to your church family? Thank you. Thank you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So let's do this. I'd like to ask you to stand up and let us worship the first Sunday of a new year, a new life that God has given you. You ready? Here we go. Father God, touch our hearts through song. Through the words of the song, we want to, Lord, we just want to praise your name for all that you have done in our lives. And Lord, get our thinking right today. Pull us back in, away from a busy world. Let us just settle our hearts on you, Lord. And let us have the courage to make any adjustments in our life to follow you greater. In Christ's name, amen. Give you this year, Lord. I love that prayer.
The new year is often a time of reflection.
I loved your prayer.
A chance to look back on the past 365 days and remember. Sometimes the memories bring a smile, and other times they break our hearts. Chances are you've experienced a bit of both this past year. The new year is also a time to look ahead, to imagine what could be, to scan the horizon with expectation, and seek God's guiding hand. It's a time to strive for better, to live louder, love stronger, and be more of who God has created us to be. It's an opportunity for new beginnings, a chance to start fresh, to pursue God with a renewed passion, and to press on with all our hearts. The truth is, God has been faithful this past year, and that faithfulness promises to carry us through the next. As the new year begins, may we remember this one simple truth. In Christ, we are a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come.
You know, in both services, when members of the prayer team came out of our prayer closet, and I'm sitting at that angle, and I just watch them come out, and then I know we're ready. And then the Davises took a trip. They went to Elvis's, home place and all of that. And then Robbie outside said that we were talking about one of Elvis. We were talking about other stuff about that trip. And then he said, taking care of business. You know, when you're around something, it tends to rub off on you. That was a saying that Elvis had on one of his planes, TCB, take care of business. And I loved it, Robbie, because I thought that's just what our service is about today. We got some business to take care of in our hearts, not in our neighbors' hearts, not in the hearts of our children. Right now, this is about you and God. And so we want to start off really with a message that not only inspires you, but really we want to start off with a bang as far as you having the courage to look within and even making some adjustments as needed. So here we go. You ready? My father, he passed away December 15th. I think it was 15 years ago. But when I think of my dad, I think of our deer hunting trips. Now, if you're not a hunter, I want you to know, just give me grace. I want to say that the message is deeper than the hunting experience, but we got to get there through what my father taught me to do at a young age. My father taught me how to hunt and what it would take to be a successful hunter at a young age. And so I'm 16 years old. So what do you get when you get 16? Hint. Driving license, right? Driver's license. So I got my driver's license. And right out of the bat, my friend Kevin asked me to drive over to his house, and then he wanted me to go on a hunting trip with him. So I was not just excited about being able to drive, but I was excited about being able to drive on my own and going to do something that I just really enjoyed. And he said that he had something called a stand that was very successful on this piece of property. Now, a stand is where you go to wait to watch deer, okay? A stand is where usually it's in a tree, but not always, but that's your deer stand. And so, long story short, Kevin told me that he had a stand that every time he brought somebody hunting with him, people saw deer out of that stand every time they hunted. The deer were in there, kind of like Glover's house. They were just everywhere, okay? If y'all aren't friends with her on Facebook, get to be. You'll see big deer all in her front yard. But moral of the story is, the excitement of this one particular morning was just more than I could stand. And then my friend said, there's only one catch. The catch is that the stand is old. Now, in those days, this was a ladder stand. And as you can imagine, it looked just like a ladder. There were no metal stands in those days. It was just wood on the side of a tree with just a platform. And best way I know to say it, I started up the steps and they were rotten. But I was excited. And I had to get up there. And so I went up there, missed a few steps, stepped to the side where it felt stronger. So I went up there and checked it out. My friend was at the base of the tree. And I kind of questioned whether it was safe enough to hunt out of. But when you're 16 and you just got your driver's license, you know what is really big in you, male or female? Ego. So I wasn't going to tell my friend that I felt like his favorite stand was unsafe. And so with a lot of pride, I sat up there and he wandered off. But at 16, I want you to know, pride is a very real thing. Anyway, all is well. And I remember the excitement that afternoon because once I got up there, about 15 feet up in the tree, on this ladder stand, I could see a long way. And in the middle of my excitement, I made a big mistake, a real mistake. After about an hour or so, the sun came up, and the sun, as just the Lord would have it that day, the sun, I'm sitting here in my cold weather clothes, and the sun just hits this face on a beautiful morning, cold morning. And the mistake that I made that morning in that stand was I got too comfortable. Too comfortable. And so I'm up there, too comfortable, and I started to do something that I like to do on a Sunday afternoon. I started to doze off. And with the sun hitting my face and warming up my clothes, I wasn't just comfortable, I was extremely comfortable. And I was trying to tell myself not to fall asleep because, well, I was in a ladder stand. And now I'm telling the gray in my beard because there were no wiring, there were no safety harnesses in those days. You just sat up there and hoped for the best. You know, if you fell out and you died, then your friend just found you dead, okay? So I'm up in that stand and I'm dozing, but I didn't want to fall asleep because, well, I was in a rotten ladder stand. 15 feet in the air in South Alabama. But I knew that comfort is a real thing, and I knew I could fall asleep for just 5 minutes. You ever said that? I'll just take a 5-minute nap, or what we like to call in my house a power nap. So I fall asleep, and the next thing you know, I was falling through the air. And I hit the ground so hard that I lost my breath, knocked the breath out of me. So now I'm like one of those goldfish you see at the pet store because I'm trying to breathe here. And my gun, loaded by the way, is just in front of me. And what hit me in preparation for this message is that day could have gone a lot worse. There are a lot of things that could have happened that day. Because when I fell asleep and I was falling through the air and I hit the ground, I could have really gotten hurt more than the breath being knocked out of me. I think it's the same with our journey with Jesus. I think it's the same with our faith. What am I saying? Well, we can get too comfortable with our faith and we can think incorrectly. I did this or I did that, even in the workplace, even in retirement, even with a life of luxury. We've got a lot of people in this church. In fact, I don't know one that's not blessed by the hand of God, not one in this church. You've been blessed, but I don't want you to get too comfortable. Why? Why would I say that? Because there is a pattern in Scripture of God's people getting really comfortable with all these material things. And they begin to feel like they did it instead of he did it. I've done this and I've done that. And we might not say that, but we feel that way if we're honest. So let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let's look at, we'll have a New Testament reading as well, but we'll go Deuteronomy 8, 11 through 18. Listen, church, for the word of the Lord. This is how it starts. Be careful. So that caused me to stop right there, Old Testament. And there's a pattern in the New Testament that I'll show you. But I'm looking at that and I'm going, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, and when you build fine homes and you settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you that in the end it might go well for you. You may say to yourself, my power and strength, the strength of my hands have produced wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. In other words, this is time tested here, that people get too comfortable. I'm going to say blessed. And then the knowledge, the beauty of the heart moves to the head and the person changes. So this is a warning that your comforts can kill you to start your new year. That's what I'm saying. Your comfortable lives. That's tough. Now, some hunters will tell you that if you've ever fallen asleep in a tree stand and you wake up suddenly, you kind of are out of it. You kind of wonder where you are for a minute or so. And even if you don't fall out of the stand like I did, sometimes a startled hunter waking up, you ever tried to wake up somebody that was in a deep sleep, maybe on the couch? It's the same for hunters. You wake up and you're startled and you moved and you jump. Well, the deer's eyes can focus on movement. They can't see all that well, but movement they can spot. They don't, many times, don't know what it is, but they can spot movement. So if you really think about it, my comfort, even if I wouldn't have fallen, many a hunter has spooked the game just by being startled from being too comfortable. Think about that. Too much comfort in our lives can be dangerous. I mean, I might have been better if there was some strategically placed nails in the tree that slightly dug into my back as I started just to get really snoozy and doze off. You know, nails placed there to keep me alert, maybe to move me away from comfort. Because I got cozy when that sun hit my face. Cozy to a fault. Now I want us to look at a text where Jesus tells us to be alert. And he repeatedly does it in the New Testament. So let's look at Mark 13, 33 through 37 now. All red letter words. Notice how it starts. Be on guard. I got it underlined. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and he puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Now, the say to everyone part, the church is not a denomination. It's not one little group of people. We got brothers and sisters in other churches all around us right now. I'm talking about family in other churches through Christ, right? And so what Jesus is saying right there, he says, what I say to you, disciples, I now say to the whole church, stay awake. Be alert. Don't get too comfortable. Isn't that incredible? So what I'm saying is that comfort, or the hazard that excessive ease in your life, what it creates something that's very unhealthy. And it's not limited for those who get in tree stands. It's a message for those who belong to God. We're to carry on in our lives. We're to be awake. How can you travel and your heart really grow if you're not regular in worship? I don't see how. Well, I can take my Bible and sit out by the lake. Yes, you can. But truths are declared as people gather for worship. Jesus was in the upper room, put the Lord's Supper into motion. We're going to take the Lord's Supper. Why was he in that upper room? You want to know why? He was going to church. So that's part of your growth. If you're watching online, okay, we went through that season. Come be a part of the church now. It's time. The church is the body, and the body is bigger than we think. So Jesus is saying, in this nation where we have so many blessings, see, if you watch the news, it'd be easy to forget right now how blessed we are. We are so blessed, not just with freedom. I mean, Gary, who joined the church, he fought in Vietnam. Several of you have served this country. Some of you have family that have served the country and you've sacrificed. Or maybe your grandparents did. Guys, this is the best country on the face of the earth. But don't get too comfortable with it. Don't seek your comfort above seeking your Jesus. Wow, that's a bumper sticker, right? We're a free people, the freest society on the face of the earth. But the pitfall to this blessed life awaits you. It moves your healthy heart to an unhealthy place. It lurks, allowing ourselves to become overly comfortable and knowingly relaxed in our abundance. And that's a dangerous state that your heart can enter into. And it can cause you to not hear the growth that you're meant to have this year. Well, I really didn't feel like going to church. That doesn't register for me. Doesn't register. Not just because I'm a pastor. I was doing prison ministry at St. Clair Prison, and one of the gang leaders gave his life to Christ. He said, "Pastor Chris, I met with all of my leaders." He called them his lieutenants. "I met with all of them last night." He gave his heart to Jesus the day before. He met with all of his leaders. Gang leader. And he said, "I need you to pray for me." The next morning, he said, "I need you to pray for me because I gave up my power to follow Jesus. Jesus doesn't want me in a gang, and I'll have to sleep with batteries in my pillowcase every day." That's what he told me. And you're not here sometimes because you don't feel like it? I'm not guilting you. I'm telling you, get less comfortable. Think about the pattern in Scripture. We can forget our need for God. The wandering the Israelites and Moses in his day proved this to be true of our nature, of us as people. It's true over and over and over again through Scripture. And they watch God richly supply their every need, as he's done for y'all. And consistently, they decided to turn away from God when their bellies got full. It's a sad commentary on one of the greatest weaknesses of humanity, and that is why you see Jesus repeatedly say things like, "Stay awake." You know, if I could have stayed awake that morning in that tree stand, I would have been better off. In fact, we have to understand my hunt might have even been salvaged that day, but we're relying too much with our ease in life, and this creates a disregard. Our dependency on our Heavenly Father. God wants to deliver us in advance from the results of our complacency, and he wants us to be alert at all times. So take notice of Moses and his words of warning in that section in Deuteronomy 8. God is speaking to you, and this is a divine elbow this morning to start our new year. It's an elbow in your side. It's a divine nail in the side of the tree, just where my back would sit when I was ready to take that nap. For us to not respond or just sit back and allow fleshly comforts, I want you to know, for you to do that, it's going to cause a fall of your faith. You're going to get mad at somebody. You're going to blow up. You're not going to be regular. You're not going to like this. You're not going to like that. You're going to become a very calculated individual because your heart is in the wrong place. And that's when the fall takes place. So today, take time to remember the first Sunday of the new year that it's God alone who abundantly supplies your needs. Acknowledge that today. Seek Him for your comfort, not anything in the bank account or any type of materialism. A good friend of mine called me as I was working on this message, and I shared with him what I was working on. And I said, "It's odd, Joey, that I'm starting the year with a real warning for God's people." And he said, "Look, Chris, God is not concerned with your checkbook. He's concerned with your outlook." That's what he said. As long as a person thinks what they have is because of how wonderful they are or how gifted they are, whenever you see that, I want you to know that person's lost. So I'm not afraid to preach a warning first Sunday of the new year at all, because fear and faith is incompatible, even for the pastor. God has blessed you so much. I just want you to see that He's done it for you. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your bountiful provision. Lord, I confess that all I have, will have, or ever hope to have is from your mighty and loving hands. Help me to never forget you in times of abundance in my life, and to remember always to thank you, even for the gift of need. It reminds me, Lord, that I am hopeless without you. Help my deepest longing to be for you, Lord, and not for what you decided to bless me with. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to hear this before we take communion. It starts off with a great thanksgiving. I want you thankful to start your year. Hear this. Wealth does not come from many possessions. Nope. Wealth comes by having very few wants. That's when you're wealthy. Are you thankful? Are you ready to have a great year? Because I am. God has done so much for me. To the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and we join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, by the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection. Lord, you gave birth to your church, and you delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ will come again. Pour out, Lord, your Holy Spirit on us, gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine, and make them be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, Lord, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father. Amen. I'd like to... call those forward who will be assisting with Holy Communion this morning. Short. Maybe you're like me. Maybe there are times in your life where you know that you chose your comfort over your Jesus so that you could be forgiven. This can be a new year for you. A year where you don't rely on a job title or your retirement, or you just rely on Him. What are you going to do this year, Chris? I'm going to rely on Him. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I want you to do. We'll start with the front rows, and then you can go and kneel, or you can go back to your chair and pray. And you know, if you've given too much value to the wrong things, you can ask Him to forgive you. Maybe you haven't, but you need it today as a reminder. I pray that it does just that. For Christmas, we sing, Mary, did you know? She knew that the hope of the world was coming, and that you could start your year off right, not finding your value in stuff, but in the one who grew up and went to a cross. There's so many people in this congregation. I could do it again in this service, but I won't. But I could go around from row to row, and I could tell you things that have happened in your life that God brought you through it. And when you go through things, you're never the same again. On the 23rd Psalm, the most powerful word in the 23rd Psalm is through. Yea, that I walk, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. God doesn't have to walk you through something if there's not something better on the other side. Some of you, God has brought you through some serious stuff to get you to where you are today. He did it. He's looking after you. And you needed to be reminded today, and so did I. Amen. All rise. Enter into 2023 like you've never entered into a new year before. Behold, He makes all things new. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all God's people said, bless you.